Father, we truly do thank you here tonight. We give you all honor and all glory, Father. And Father, everybody that walks through this door tonight came here for a purpose, and that is to sit at your table. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, fill them to overflowing. Place a blessing upon them, Father God, that they cannot contain. And Father God, as they sang and came up into your throne room, I know that you met them there. And I thank you, Father God, for the covering of the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, I said that because God is going to send you forth and you need to be covered. Just can't go out there. You need to be covered by the blood. And so don't ever forget that every place you go, just make sure you have yourself covered by the blood of Jesus. This morning we learned all about love, right? Tonight I'm going to teach you about hate. All right, this is God speaking. The epitome of hate has totally consumed this land. The enemy has accomplished what he set out to accomplish, and that is to abolish my love and destroy foundations. My people are sandwiched between love and hate. Their light of love has to be always bright if hate is to be dispelled. Children, it is through you that I must work the works of love to a generation that is lost to hate. What does my word tell you about love? And what does my word tell you about hate? Now, how many of you are agreeing with God right now that this is a generation of hate? I've never seen so much hate spilled out as what there is right now. I've never seen such a lack of respect for a body. Yeah, nobody cares. They just walk up and shoot you or do whatever they want to you. And everybody thinks that's okay. That's not okay. That's not how God operates. And so I really want each one of you to stop and think, how do you operate? What are you doing for God and not against God? And are you spreading love or are you spreading hate? And Matthew 5:43 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Then God said, Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The world says, you have heard this, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but Jesus says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And praise for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Get this down in your spirit. This is what Jesus said in his word. This is not my talking. Hate has been sent a strong delusion and believes lies. Isn't that what's going on right now? But love has had a hole bored in its ear and is hearing what love, which is God, is saying. In other words, God is total love. And if you're a true child of God, you are hearing what God is saying. Love and do not hate. And Revelation 12:10 says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused him before our God day and night has been cast down. Satan has been cast down to this earth, and he's spreading his every bit of hate that he has in hell. He's spreading it throughout the land. Hate is the accuser. When the accuser jumps on you, it is hate trying to break you down. Hate does not know the truth about you. Hate believes lies. Hate is always damned. Therefore, it spends its life damning others. When it thinks it is telling the truth, it is lying. Hate is a teacher of false doctrine. It is like quicksand. Only love can bring them out. We must be his love towards them. In other words, We are to love our enemies. We are to pray for those who are walking in hate and discord and destroying the land. We've done everything else, so let's just try this. Let's try praying for them. And as we pray for them, it opens up God's hands, and He can do what needs to be done in order to straighten out the things that are going on in the world, in our families, in our businesses, wherever. Hate exalts itself. It's proud. It is so smart, or so it thinks, but it hates love and thinks love must be abolished. Hate wants us to hate each other. Hate wants to divide us. Think about what's going on in your life. If there's a division started, it's not love that's doing that, it's hate. Revelation 12, 4 and 5 says, His tail, Satan's tail, threw a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to His throne. Now hate is the dragon that tries to devour the man-child, because the man-child is God's love in bodily form. But love is saying we will love each other more as a people, even to perfection. God builds His house of love, and hate is shut out from it. What is going on in the world right now? Isn't Satan trying to destroy our men? He's taking the men out of the homes. He's causing men to kill each other. He is spreading hate through our men. And God's trying to bring the men forth, and hate will actually work through the women to close them down. We need to quit trying to be the man, because God made you the woman. And let's let God's perfect plan be carried out. I've never seen so much of putting down of men as what women are doing in this dispensation of time. And I really can't blame men for not wanting to serve God, to come forth and serve God, because women are putting them down so bad. We need to pray for our men, because God wants to raise them up. God wants to raise the women up too, but we got on a kick where all we thought about is the women being raised up, and we started pushing the men down. If you look what's going on through history, this is what's been happening. And now the men are not in sight. They're not in the homes for helping raise kids. They're not even out there working in a job places, trying to bring money into the homes. They're out there doing all manner of evil. And women, it's partly our fault, because we weren't praying for the men and bringing them forth. After all, a man hurt you. Well, man hurt Jesus too. Come on. And after all, you hurt man too. So let's quit this hate thing, and let's just do what God wants us to do. And let's just bring love forth in all areas. Psalm 23:5 says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. David said that. How many of you believe that? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Somebody can really hate you, be really talking about you, really cursing you. But, God is just blessing you beyond measure. Right in the middle, of all the cursing that this person's doing to you, God is still blessing you. He's not going to let the enemy have his way in your life. Love has his table spread in the presence of hate, and hate condemns all that is on the table. Hate is insanely jealous of the things of God and the people of God. Have you ever had anybody jealous of you because other people like you? Then all they do is they'll talk about you to these people trying to run you down. That's hate coming against love. And that is definitely not God. So when you see that happening, that person's walking in hate and is trying to kill love. All right. It hates that the people of God are chosen from the foundation of the earth. And it hate has no part in that love. Hate cannot stand the fact that God chose you from the foundation of the world. and he has no place in that. He cannot touch you because the love of God overshadows you and keeps you every second of every day of your life. Amen. You'd be, you know, if you really could see in the spirit realm, you'd be surprised how many times God has kept you safe. All right, hate warns the people to stay away from this love and don't touch their table. Excuse me. You'll find people that will do not want anybody to like you. And behind your back, they'll say all manner of evil from you about you. Stay away from those people. They are destructive, and they will destroy you also. Hate is our enemy. That is why it tries to break the saints in the house of love. You know, that's where God keeps saying we need unity. If you're really walking in the love of God, excuse me, you'll have unity constantly, because hate won't be able to come in and divide, because love is stronger than hate. But it does not, I said hate is our enemy. That is why it tries to break the saints in the house of love. But it does not understand that love holds on to that which is holy and precious. Paul was a hater. Let's look at Acts 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Here's Saul out killing the Christians, and God stops him. And then Saul knows he has to be obedient. He said, what it is that you want me to do? And then God tells him, all right? But the Lord rescued Paul on the road to Damascus. The Lord knows how to rescue haters. Are you hearing this? But at first, it will look like very bad for them. How they receive his rescue determines whether they will go on with him or hate even more. If you run across somebody that's full of hate, you're trying to minister to them, you think there's no way I'm going to get through to them, keep planting the seed. Keep planting the seed. God will send the water, and the seed will sprout. Don't give up on them. Unless God tells you to give up on them, don't give up on them, because God is able to break the stronghold of hate in anybody. Matthew 9:13, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. It says here, Jesus died for the haters. Isn't that what he says? We also will die for them and at their hands. That is why things that have been had to be. In Genesis 3:15, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. From the time we were born, hate has tried to destroy us. How many of you know that you walk in a love walk, but the devil comes after you day in and day out, trying to get you to hate the people that God sends your way to help you? And, you know, if we're not careful what we do, the ones that are sent to help, we give in to that hate spirit, and we walk away and let that person dangling. And whether they get somebody else, God sends somebody else to them or not, we don't know. Hate wanted our mother to abort us. Hate has caused many to give in to addictions and disease. And Romans 8:33 says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who are you all? You are God's elect, okay? The Bible says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, and peril is danger? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't care what you've done. It cannot separate you from the love of God. I don't care what anybody's done to you. It cannot separate you from the love of God. You make that choice to be separated. You walk away. God does not. He's always there for you. We can see by this scripture that hate will never separate us from the love of God if we love God with all of our hearts. The problem is we don't love God with all of our hearts. We love God with a little bit of our heart, and then we reserve the rest of it for hate, because we're not going to allow nobody to hurt us ever again. So therefore, we can't love 100%, because we always have that little wall up so that you can't be hurt. But if you're going to work for God, and if you're going to be a love child, then the wall has to be torn down so that your heart can be hurt over and over and over again. Do you ever think about Mary when she watched him take her son Jesus and do all the things they did to him? You know, that must have ripped her heart right out of her chest. But she knew that he had to go through this. She wasn't hating the people that was doing it. She was just praying for her son. There is a pride that goes with hate. It exalts itself. It says God's people are just dummies. The Antichrist is hate, and it sits in a temple of God. God told me 20 years ago, the Antichrist, with the S on the end, is already on this earth. They sit in the houses, my houses, all the time. So they're already here, the Antichrist, but the Antichrist, the little ones, are in the house of God, trying to separate and divide and bring hate where there should be love. Division after division is occurring all across this land, and my children are being pulled and swayed into the dark abyss. And I say unto you this night, little ones, that I am God, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. And every time a soul is lost, I weep. For that soul should not have gone into the abyss. But there was no one that would go forth and profess Jesus Christ as Lord and show them the love of my son, Jesus. I am speaking to each one of you in here tonight, and I am asking you to be a soldier for me in this war of hate. I want you to go forth and subdue all hate and spread the love of my son, Jesus, throughout this land. For in this dispensation of time, love is the foundation that I am using to bring forth the great revival that is coming forth. Soul after soul after soul will be saved from the abyss because of your love that you so generously shed abroad. So be encouraged this day and know that I am the Lord thy God, and I will not fail you. And as you step out to shed my love abroad, hate will come after you with everything it has. But you have to understand that I am with you throughout the day, and I will never leave you nor forsake you, and the enemy will not be able to consume you. Thank you, Father. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What God is saying there is the enemy is always going to come around and try to take your love from you. He's always going to try to sow the discord of hate within you. But he's saying, I'm with you, and I'm stronger than any devil in hell. He said, resist him and keep walking in my love walk. You know, as you read about the martyrs, yeah, they went through terrible times of persecution, but they never hated. I mean, they were treated terrible. They always kept love abounding within them. And they even turned some of the guards to Christ because of their love walk that they had. Why cannot we bring the lost souls into the house of God? It's because we don't have that pure love that draws them into the house. Yeah, there's a little bit of a division there. There's hate there along with love. And that little bit of division is not going to attract people into the house of God. They want to see somebody with pure, total love coming forth. Hate says, I will ascend into heaven and be like the Most High God. In Matthew 5:43, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your brother. But I say, do you love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And we're reading this again because 44, we don't practice that. The body of Christ does not practice that. But I say, do you love your enemies? I wish they'd go to hell. Why doesn't God smite them and strike them dead? That isn't what this says, is it? It says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I have a hard time with that. I'm honest. I have a hard time with that. And I really had to pray myself through a lot with that, especially when it's the same people over and over and over again. But God didn't say what kind of people. He just says everybody, right? And I'm hoping you're being honest with yourself. Say, okay, Lord, no, I haven't been following that, but I'm going to try harder to do what you just told me to do. See, we have to be honest where our emotions are at. If you're not honest with your emotions, you're never going to get to where God's trying to take you to. All right, 45 says that you may be, why should we do that? So that you can be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. How many of you have to keep reminding yourself of that? That, you know, you're around people that are not following God, and, you know, and they're being blessed too just because you are. And instead of you saying, well, they shouldn't be blessed, we should be saying, thank you, God, that because of me, they are being blessed. And just maybe they might turn their lives around. But we don't do that. Nope. God put a line here and don't let them be blessed. Just let me be blessed. You know, eventually their eyes are going to be open and, hey, following God's a good thing. If you follow him, you're blessed. And you pour that blessing out upon those around about you. Then Jesus goes on to say, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Isn't that true? You know, I love Aaron. Aaron loves me. Well, that's great. But, you know, what about somebody else? Does somebody else love me? And do I love them, a stranger? You know, it's easy to love Aaron because I know he loves me. You know, it's easy to love Alan because I know he loves me. But is it easy for me to love somebody I know that doesn't love me? No, it isn't. Honesty. No, it isn't. I have to pray about that. And I have to pray through it. Then let the love shine so that that person that I can't love will come forth. Are you understanding this? Everyone in this room has been around unlovable people. And everybody in this room, I think, has walked away saying, I'm glad to be out of that situation. You know? Jesus didn't do that. He loved you no matter what. And this is why God said, don't forget from whence you came, because you were once unlovable too. And let's face it, none of us in this room are lovable 24/7. We just are not. I'm sorry, we're not Jesus yet. You know, there's things we do that are unlovable, but yet we want others to love us. But if somebody else does something unlovable, we just want to walk away from them. Are you understanding what God's trying to get through to us today? All right, so Jesus says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" You know, tax collectors were terrible people. "And if you greet your brethren only, if you only greet Aaron and don't greet anybody else, then God says, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so?" In other words, the tax collectors stayed together because everybody hated them. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, here, challenge. We're working towards perfection. And God said, we're not perfected yet. So if you haven't been walking this love walk like God's teaching us today, then keep striving, keep working toward that, because one day, bam, it's all going to come together and you're going to be a big love sponge. And God can use you then to bring in the lost. Don't give up. You can make this. It can happen. Where there is persecution, there is hate. We need to understand that persecution only comes about when love is abounding in the hearts of God's people. Do you hear that? That's exciting, really. Where there is persecution, there is hate. We need to understand that persecution only comes about when love is abounding in the heart of God's people. So when people are persecuting you, that means you've got the love of Christ in you. And the devil's trying to turn into hate. Where there is love, there is crying inside. In Revelation, you can read Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 17 at home, okay? Where there is love, there is crying inside. It is a cry that weeps between the porch and the altar, crying, "Mercy, mercy, Lord, and how long, O Lord, till you avenge us?" How many of you have said that, went in prayer closet, "God, how long before you end this thing? How much longer do I have to go through this thing?" God says, as long as it takes to get you perfected. It's not about the person that has the hate in him. It's about God perfecting your love walk. Are you understanding that? And really, if you look at Jesus on the cross, he had a perfect love walk. Father, forgive them. We say, Father, hit them over the head. But Jesus, after all the persecution, said, Father, forgive them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." In other words, the Antichrist, the people of hate that sits in the house of God, they won't be able to stand the love of Christ and they'll leave. And it is the last hour. This dispensation of time will bring in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nobody knows when that is, and we just have to keep working until the day happens. All right? And we have to be working what? Love. The love walk. 1 John 4, 3. "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." We don't believe that either. "They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them." Are you listening to this? "They are of the world, and the world hears them. And because you are God's and you're full of love, the world doesn't want to hear you. The world does not want to be near you. And the world will try to make you believe that you are not a vessel of love. Hate will come through the world and just pound on you and pound on you and pound on you, trying to wear you down. But you have to be so cemented in love. You might go in the corner and cry, but you'll come out of that corner laughing. So when I say go in the corner and cry, you need to go before the Father and say, Father God, this is too much for me to bear. This hate, I've done that. This hate that's around me is killing me spiritually. I need you to come in and with your glory and dispel this hate. It's not wrong to pray that. It's wrong to let the hate destroy you. Are you understanding this? See, we sit around and we think there's nothing we can do about it, but there is. And our job is to stay close to the Father and allow hate, allow love to manifest itself to the point that it breaks down all the barriers of darkness. Where am I at, Nancy? 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Then 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. In case you're looking for the antichrist, look for hate, and you have found him. Hate opposes all that is called God, and hate is a spirit. Look at all the senseless death that's going on. You know, I keep reading about where mothers are killing their children. I mean, that's hate. How can a mother, just read yesterday where a mother had 5 children she killed. How can you do that? I mean, it's because there's antichrist within you. Hate is buried deep within you. And there's no love, no remorse. No, and you hear this, oh, you read it in the paper every day where a mother is killing their children or making them suffer till they die. What has happened to the world? It's turned over to the Antichrist, turned over to hate. Your child did not ask to be born. I want to inform you of that. God wanted that child born. And he used your womb to put the seed in there. And that's his child that you bore, not your own. And one day you're going to stand before God and be held accountable for how you raised that child. People going out here aborting children all the time. That was God's child that you destroyed. Thank God that God has them up in heaven raising them. But, you know, we've got to stop this, church. It's going on in the church, too. We have to walk in love and get rid of the hate barrier. All right, the Bible says pride comes before a fall. I believe we could even say hate comes before a fall. I believe strokes follow hate and many times high blood pressure. Hate comes out of the root of bitterness, and bitterness is the basis for all disease. It is a place for cancers to grow. It is a cancer breeding ground. Are you listening to this? Bitterness is a cancer. It is a tumor that has festered up with things that a person should have gotten over a long time ago if they trusted God. I hear so many people talking about bad things that happened in the past. Why do you do that? My kids will ask me something. I said, I don't remember that. I said, I have too many things today that I have to be. I'm not going way back here. Remember that dumb junk? It didn't do me any good back then, and it's not going to do me any good to keep remembering. But how many people do you know that do that? Keep stirring up the past. Stir up your future. Your future is great. It lies before you great. And all you have to do is walk in love. And then every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be poured out upon you. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hate has come to lie, hate, kill, and destroy. But in Christ, we are not destroyed, we remain. At home, you can read 1 John 4:1-21. I teach this and I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. Just because I'm sitting up here does not mean that I've had a perfect life. I have not. I've been mistreated just as bad as some of you have been. But it's not worth me losing my salvation. It's not worth losing my joy. You don't have any joy when you're continually thinking about what somebody did to you yesterday. And you know, God said, let go of the yesterdays and walk in today. You know, quit staying in yesterday. Yesterday will breed more hate, more animosity. You know, it'll fester inside of you till it just totally destroys you. I know because I witness that with people that I talk to in the house of God. They won't let go of what somebody else did. I don't counsel anymore. You know why? Because all they want to do is talk about what somebody did to them. They don't want to get past that. They just want to talk about what somebody did to them. Why don't you talk about what God did for you? Why don't you talk about what Jesus did on the cross? That's going to get you something. You talk about what other people did to you, it's not going to get you anything. Now, when I was first born again, I had to go through all these steps too. But it didn't take me 10 years. It took me about 4 months. And then I was fine. And see, but in the body of Christ, in 10 years, they're still talking about what somebody did to them. That's why I'm destroyed. No, you're destroyed because one thing, lack of knowledge about God and His love. And another thing is you like to rehearse the hurt. For some reason or other, it brings you a lot of joy. And you need to get over that, body of Christ. You really, there's plenty of books out there you can read about that. But why even read those? Just let God come in and wipe all that junk away and let Him love you. As God's love, children, that's you and I, love is our number one priority. That's the thing we should be working on every day is our love walk. I am a good steward of God's love. Everything in life depends on how I receive and distribute His love. Life itself depends on it. Number two, I stay connected to the power of love. Do you? Every morning you get up, the devil's waiting for you to get up out of that bed so he can make you think of something that is going to tear you down. That's whenever we need to say, get out of here, devil, and we need to start rejoicing. I stay connected to the power of love as I open my eyes to see, my ears to hear, and my mouth to speak love. As I operate through love, the glory of His love flows through me. The third thing is I make the commitment to yield to love's authority. I will submit to the Spirit of love Himself. Love will empower me to live through Him. His glory and abundance will fill the earth through me. Now, Jesus is love, right? God is love. So love came. Love gave Himself. Love died. Love rose again. Love took our sins and punishment so we could live abundantly through Him who is love. Now, love came, so you're supposed to be love vessel. Get awake. You're supposed to be love vessels, so you came, right, into the midst of darkness. Then love gave Himself. So in the midst of that darkness, you gave of yourself to those people who are coming against you and who hate you. You gave of yourself, which is love, to counteract the hate in them. Then it said love died. Our problem is we have not died to our flesh. And that's why we can't love the way God wants us to love. Then love rose again. And once you die to your flesh, God will bring you back up again. And you'll wonder, why did I do them dumb things? Why couldn't I continue to love? You'll come alive again. And then it said, love took our sins and punishment so we could live abundantly through Him who is love. So what you're going to do now is you're going to take that person's sin to the cross. And you're going to, you know, and then you're going to minister to that person in love. And you're going to bring them out of the mess that they're in, hopefully, so they can walk in love. And if I would ask for a raise of hands, I know that there's a lot of us in here tonight that we could say that our children are trying to pull the love of God out of us by being extra bad. I know some of you are, I'm experiencing that, and my kids love me, but you and my two little ones, but I tell you what, some days I like to take and put them in a post somewhere and not look at them for a week. You know, and I have to keep loving them no matter what they're doing, because I understand that the enemy is trying to get me to walk out of love toward them. And if I walk out of love toward them, then he has them. So I don't care what your kids do to you, parents, love them anyway, like Christ loves you anyway, no matter what you do. All right. I'm not saying it's right what the children are doing, but who's causing the children to do this? The Antichrist. Because you know your kids love you. And you see, what you have to do is you have to stop and put the whole picture together instead of the one little moment that's happening. And think everything through before you get stupid. And let your love walk slip. Right? Always remember, strife never connects to love. Strife connects to confusion. Unforgiveness connects to darkness. Fear connects to the spirit of fear. Faith connects to the spirit of faith. Hate connects to the spirit of hate. And love connects to the spirit of love. Sin connects to the spirit of sin, which is death. Repentance connects to the spirit of forgiveness, which is eternal life. All right, the first time I thought this word was in 2007. And at that time, God said, when hate has reached its peak, then I will come in and destroy its work. What has hate done right now? Reached its peak, and God is coming in with love to his children to destroy his work. All right? God wants to use his holy, righteous children of today to destroy the works of hate. My question to you tonight is, are you one that he can work through? Are you one that will say, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me with a message of love. Some of you can't say yes to that because you're still grappling with hate of what people have done to you. You could die this very second, and where would you end up at? Holding on to that hate of yesterday. Not in heaven. Because heaven's not going to have hate and unforgiveness in heaven. What did I say? God is not going to have hate and unforgiveness in heaven. It's just not going to be there. You need to very quickly ask God to yank every bit of hate out of you and then to fill that void with his heavenly love, his agape love. And then ask him, send me forth so I can help others to be freed up with this same love that you've given me. We're such a selfish, self-centered group of people. We said, well, look how God lives. Look what I have. You don't have what I have. No, they don't. And thank God, because you don't really have God either. If you're not loving your brother, it says you don't love God. So tonight, I want you to be really searching your heart right now. Get down into the crevices of your heart and ask God to go there with you, the Holy Spirit, and to yank up everything that's not of him, all that hate and all that discord. There's some of you in here tonight that you need to get into your word and study what Jesus did, the red letters. I hear God said you need to do a Bible study. Get into your word where the red letters are and see what Jesus said and what he went through. And you have to understand that Paul was willing to sit in prison most of his life and write letters to the people filled full of love, the letters were, bringing them forth out of their darkness. Now, what are you willing to give God to be so full of his love that no matter where you go, you will draw people to Christ? Think about that. The love of Christ in you will draw people to you, but it's really not drawing people to you, it's drawing people to love the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. And whenever it's drawn to you, then you can show the people the love of Christ. Don't be afraid to tell people what you go through. That's your testimony. And then as you tell them what you go through, they see that you're walking in love and forgiveness and all the good stuff. They'll say, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. In our own families, we need to do that. We need to show love where there is discord. And we need to show the people that you're a person that can forgive and forget and move on. Because if you don't forgive and forget, you can't move on. So your life, you're dead. Your life is done. Once you forgive and move on, your life is full to overflowing.